You know, if we only had this little snippet of the gospel to evaluate John the Baptist's success or failure, I think we could easily see that as he's trying to form his group of disciples and to guide them, and as he quickly loses his two disciples, that he ends up quite the failure at being a rabbi. But that's not what he's there for, so it's all right. He's not a terrible failure. He was there to point out Christ as the Lamb of God, to be able to lead others to that encounter with Christ. And as our Lord calls these first disciples, it's good for us to reflect on the fact that this scene, Christ going out to make a proposal to each one of us, is the whole reason that he became one of us. It's the whole reason that God chose to send us a Savior. And that's what he does. Christ makes a proposal. Come and see. Follow me. He offers an invitation. And it's a proposal to a way of life that is good, that is beautiful, that fulfills all of the longings of our human heart that he created. And it's not just for us, as we see, especially as Andrew goes and gets his brother and tells him about this way of life. But it's important for us to see when Christ makes that proposal, when he goes and calls his first disciples, who is he calling? He's not calling Saint Andrew. He's not calling Saint Peter. He's not calling Saint John. He doesn't call Saint Matthew or Saint Thomas or Saint Nathaniel or Saint Philip. But he calls Andrew, Simon, John, James, Nathaniel, Matthew. They're not saints yet. They have to live with him. They have to follow him. They have to learn from him. They have to struggle with themselves in that process. Which means that Christ can very well call any one of us to follow him. Any one of us who aren't yet saints either. And that's a great source of hope and encouragement for all of us, because we are the ones the Lord is calling. When he says, follow me, come and see, he is saying that to you today. This proposal of a good and beautiful way of life that he's making to these disciples, he's making to each one of us today. And what does it mean to follow him, to be a disciple? What is he calling us to? I think if we look at what happens to Andrew, and probably John was the other disciple there with him, they first go to Jesus and see him only as a teacher. Rabbi, which translated means teacher. Help us to know about life. Help us to know what our purpose in this world is. Help us to understand what's going on around us and where we fit into that. Teach us. And then he responds by saying, come and see. Stay with me. And when they spend that day with them, which must have been significant because they record the hour of which it happened, and if we think of significant moments in our life, think of when you proposed to your future wife, your fiance, all of you men who are married. Think of when you received that proposal. Think of when you accepted a job offer. A lot of times we can remember those times because they're significant. And the same is true here. This was a significant encounter because these disciples who had been following John up to a time have this encounter with Christ, and now their lives are no longer focused or directed according to the Baptist and what he was teaching them, but they're focused and centered on Christ. Their lives have changed. They're still not perfect, but they've got a different direction to them. And that's true for all of us, that we move from seeing Christ as just a wise man who teaches us a way of life, to seeing him as Messiah, as our Savior. And we have to do that by that process of staying with him, of being able to see that we need him, of opening our souls and our lives to his presence, of allowing him in, of sharing with him our desires, our fears, the decisions we need to make, of taking those to him, allowing him to speak to us about them, allowing him to accompany us, to encourage us. And when we do that, we'll naturally be led to believe in him as our Savior. Because when we enter into that relationship with Christ and we offer him where we are, who we are, what we are, the good and the bad, we very quickly realize we need a Savior. And here is somebody who comes to save me out of love for me. But it doesn't stop there. Just as Andrew goes out, we have to go out. A disciple makes other disciples. And that doesn't have to be weird or preachy. The life lived with Christ is compelling. It's joyful. It's beautiful. It's not free of struggles. All of us know that. It doesn't even mean that we're perfect. All of us know that. But it means in response to those needs of our heart, in response to where we are, we know a God who loves us and calls us and allows us to participate in something that is redemptive and true and beautiful and good. And that gives us a hope and a depth of joy that's not superficial, that is intriguing and compelling to the rest of the world. And when those opportunities present themselves to explain a little bit, to be able to share the deeper parts of the faith, to be able to encourage or to admonish or to bring along to a higher call, all of that is good, and we should do that. But it begins with the joy and the charity and the love of being a disciple. All of us are following something, whether it be anything the world has to offer, whether it be ourselves or a job or a particular relationship, we're all following something. And what Christ is proposing today is that he be that someone, that our life, just like these disciples who have this encounter with him and are no longer following the Baptist, enter into this road of discipleship with the Lord. And he's calling us to that same road of discipleship, to allow him to accompany us, to allow him to encourage us, to pick us up when we fall, and to keep us going along that path. So let's ask him for the grace to respond, to be able to, yes, to follow something, but to have that something truly be him who calls us and who encourages us, who invites us to stay with him and invites us to follow him.